Thank you, sweetheart. I love that song. Amen. Would you stand? I have a title for tonight's message, and the title of it is The Need for Christian Balance in Our Life. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 11 and 1. I'm going to lay out approximately a 20-minute foundation here, because I really need you to understand how important Christian balance is in our life. In order for me to do that, I need to have some real scriptural teaching here. And because when we get into that little piece of paper you got there, you're going to get to do your own report card in your own lives. And it's kind of interesting that this message is the last Sunday of the month, because next time we see each other, it's going to be New Year's. And so this would be a message that you'd be able to go home and you'd be able to sit down. And this is the time of year when we think about, you know, making New Year's resolutions. And so this here will maybe be a little bit of a guide for all of us to help us sit down, look at where our life is at, and say, God, this is what I want to do next year, kind of a thing. And so I think it's going to work out real well for all of us. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says this. It says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, when you read Proverbs chapter 11 and you read the rest of the verses that go with this, this would be just one verse among a number of verses, and it may not stand out to you all that strong based on the rest of what you may read. But I'm going to take this apart just a little bit here, and I want to show you how strong this message really is, or just this verse of scripture. Now, when you look at the word false there, the word false there means deceiving. So now when you read it, it says, instead of saying a false balance, it says a deceiving balance is an abomination to the Lord. When you look at the word abomination in this verse of scripture, it's the word disgusting, it's the word abhorrence, and it's idolatry. And so that's what abomination means, okay? So here we see a deceiving balance is quite a strong thing that God is not happy about if it's in our life. Then it goes on to say, but a just. Now, that word just is the word perfect. Okay, then the next word is the word weight. And that word means to build. So now when we read this scripture, it says a deceiving balance is disgusting and it's a form of idolatry to the Lord. But a perfect build is his delight. And church, we all tonight are building projects for our God, are we not? We're in that in-between part that Brother Portman talked about this morning. Now, he wants us to live a balanced life. Why? Because it's his design for us to be happy. And you'll never be happy in the Lord unless you live this balanced life that God is asking us to live. Our happiness is predicated on the fact that he has a divine balance for our life. And tonight, that's what I want to talk about. Pastor, would you please pray? Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. When we think of the word balance, there are many things that may come to your mind. One of the things that comes to my mind is a checkbook. Checkbooks are good when they balance. Checkbooks are bad when they don't balance, are they not? Everyone loves at the end of a month that your mortgage payment is made or your rent payment is made, your car payment's made, you had enough money to feed your family, and you got a few bucks at the end of the month. That's what we call a balanced checkbook, and everybody is pleased with one of those. There also, when I think about balance, I think about a young boy, a young girl, learning how to ride a bike. It's pretty exciting to watch young kids first start out on a bike because mom or dad has to kind of hold a seat. They get on it and they start, you explain to them what they have to do. But no matter how much you explain to them, they just don't get it right away. And so you have to go back and forth, back and forth. In some instances, depending upon your child, it can take days or weeks before they finally get it. But what happens is when they finally get it, the next thing you do within a few weeks after that, you're seeing them jump with the bike. You're seeing them stand on the seat. They don't have any hands. And they continue their journey. And you say, how did that happen so quickly when just a couple weeks ago, they couldn't even balance on a bike, right? We've heard of Fox News. They claim to be fair and balanced, and I'm not sure about that, but that's what they claim. When we think of something or someone that is out of balance, we may be thinking of maybe a wheel on an automobile. I don't know if you've ever seen a wheel that's really out of balance. Sometimes they're a little out of balance, but a wheel that's out of balance bounces like a basketball on an automobile. And if you have more than one wheel that's out of balance, it can be very dangerous for the person driving that car. Now, isn't that true? Anybody ever see that, or is it just me? All right. We're on the same page here. When we think of people sometimes that are out of balance, we may be thinking of a person that's drunk. We may think of a person that's on drugs. They're not able to make correct decisions. They're not able to walk correctly or do any of the things that a person that would not be in that state be able to make. Now, I remember years ago, I was probably about 24 years old. I worked for my father-in-law. I was a maintenance man there, and I had to go to Ace Hardware in South Milwaukee to pick up some supplies. And it wasn't the first time I was there, but this particular time I was there, I noticed that the young man who happened to be the son of the owner was acting really differently. And I've known him, you know, over time being there as to be a balanced person, normal. You know, you can ask him questions. He'd be able to find what you need and so forth. But this particular day, he was totally different. And so I actually found one of the other guys that worked there, and I kind of inquired. I says, what happened to, you know, I don't remember his name, to call him Dan. What happened to Dan? And he said he overdosed on drugs, and he fried his brain. And so he was never the same again, nor will he ever be the same, unless they brought him to an apostolic church and somebody prayed for him and God gave him that miracle. But other than that, he would not be able to ever change, and he was totally imbalanced for the rest of his life. And when I looked at him, I just couldn't believe it. And I wasn't in the church at the time. This was many years ago. And I just couldn't believe that a person could change so much because of taking a substance like that. But it scared me, and it was just tragic. When we think of out of balance, we can look at a picture on a wall. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because a picture on a wall that's not hanging correctly, it's still hanging, it'll stay up there. You know what I mean? They got that little whatever's back there to keep it on the wall, but you will never look at it right. You'll say, every time you walk by that picture, it isn't right, and you'll say, I got to balance it, okay? And that's the same thing it is with a Christian life. You can look right, you can even talk right, but you better be right, because that's where balance is in Christian living. It's not just looking like one, but it's acting like one and being one. And so, let's get that picture straightened out. Let's get our life straightened out, amen? I remember another incident when I was 24 years old. I worked for my father-in-law again. I was a maintenance man, and we had this blaster machine. And what this is, it's a machine that has this stuff. It's called shot. And what is it? It's metal sand is what it is. And what happens, there's three different sections in this machine that it would turn on a cycle, and when it would blast this shot on these 55-gallon steel drums, it would absolutely take all the paint off these drums because they had to be repainted. And so one day, me and the other maintenance man, we're up on top of a machine, and you got to remember, the motor that runs these wheels is about 3,500 RPM. It's really clipping. So when that shot hits that, it just spins that stuff onto that barrel and just eats everything alive. If there was a human being in there, within 15 seconds, he would not exist. All right? That's how powerful this is. And I was up on top, and the machine was getting out of balance because as that shot hits these blades, they wear out after a while. So you kind of know the machine starts to vibrate a little bit, and you know you got to go in there and you got to fix that circumstance. Well, I went in there. They got these little clips. They got a special tool to get them out. I did all that, put it back in there, and I didn't put the cover back on, okay, because I wanted to make sure that it was balanced correctly and everything was staying together. Absolutely the worst thing you could ever do when something spins that quickly, because all of a sudden I said, Mike, turn the machine on. He turns this machine on, and it begins to spin like crazy. Next thing I know, parts are flying everywhere. Now, I was approximately standing about this high, and that's how far the ground was before me. I didn't even think twice. I ran off that machine and fell on the floor. I didn't know if I was going to jump in the water, acid, barrels, junk on the floor. I didn't know what it was. Didn't care, because these little pieces at the speed that they travel was like a bullet, and I knew if anyone would have hit me, I could have been killed. And here this machine now is making, it's vibrating like crazy because now it's really off balance. But I just want you to know that's what happens when we as Christian people say that we're Christian people. If we're out of balance, people will look at us and they'll say, they say they're Christian, but yet they do this or they do that. Balance is very important to God, and we're going to get into that more as we go here. In August of this year, my company went to Detroit, Michigan during a time when there was a black man in Ferguson, Missouri that was shot by a white police officer. You remember the story. Now, we were on a flood run, and we were in Detroit, and when we go to different parts of the country to do what we do, we go there and we get staffing people to help us work. We cannot bring our whole gang everywhere we go. So once we get into a city, we just call a staffing company, and they'll give us however many employees that we need. And so in this particular case, during this time, I was riveted to the TV and to news. In fact, my son-in-law, Sean, there, he laughed at me because when the day was done, I was either in the foyer watching the TV or I was in my room watching the TV, and I was watching Fox News and I was watching everything I could get my hands on in regards to this Ferguson event. And the reason why I was riveted to it is because of the views that everybody had in regards to that. I said, I'm really watching humanity in action here. And when you're out of town, your wife's not there, you might as well watch news, right? And so that's what I did. And so Sean laughed at me. Don't you do anything else? I says, right now, I said, this is so interesting to me. I just want to listen to every aspect of it, all right? Well, what was happening here is we were between jobs, and the staffing company that delivered people to me, I happened to have three black gentlemen that were in my truck with me, and we were going from the job we just finished one, we were going to another one. We had approximately a half hour, 40 minutes to the next job. And based on all the things that I was hearing on TV in regards to all this here, I was very curious as to what these guys actually thought. And so I began to discuss with them. I said, I want you guys to know that I've been watching this TV in regards to this young man that was killed, and I want you to do me a favor. I says, I don't want you to spare my feelings right now. I says, I want you to tell me how you honestly feel, because I began to explain, a little bit how I felt about the matter, what I was seeing on TV, and I was kind of curious what they thought. And so here I had three gentlemen, and let me share with you what they thought. Now, none of them had any kind of walk with God, I want you to know, except for one, and we'll call his name Charles to protect him. Now, Charles had enough of God of him to mention his name, at least in a positive way. But later on in the conversation, he told me that he actually had 17 kids, six different women, wasn't married to none of them, but yet he had a little bit of God in him. He was the only one who even had a slightly amount of God in him, okay? He said that the cop was in the right to shoot him. So then Julius, he was the next guy. He was a homeless person who just got out of prison. And I want you to know, as a rule, I do not hire homeless people out of prison. But what happened was the staffing company, we explained to them what we need, and we trust them that they're going to give us the right stuff. But in this particular case, I didn't know this until afterward. But Julius was a great worker. He really was, and he was a very humble guy. Do you remember Julius, Sean? You remember? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. He was a very conservative in his outlook, okay? He blamed it on bad parenting. He said, this kid, he just had bad parenting. He should have been in the first place, and that type of thing. And I said, okay. And then John, who was the third person in my truck, he said it was the cop's fault, period. He seemed to be the angriest of the bunch. And actually, while we were in the truck, I actually had to calm him down once in a while and say, hey, we're just having a discussion. You know what I mean? But he was probably the angriest of all. Well, we all had this very interesting conversation about the subject. And like I said, I had to calm him down. But what was very interesting here is the fact that how out of balance these guys were in their thinking, in their lives. They were really, really out there. They all had their opinions, obviously. But this is the problem. A balanced life is never based on opinions, okay? It's based on something else, which I'll share in a second. The balanced life and the proper way of looking at this whole situation is this. You wait until all the facts of the case are explored, and then you can make a proper assessment on what really happened. It will then be based on knowledge and not opinion, right? Having a balanced life requires all of us to be cautious of our personal opinions and make sure that we have the facts first. A person that has balance does what our pastor does, okay? He has this 24-hour rule, which pastor I've adopted, to be honest with you. That's a really good rule. And what happens is, in life, whether we're Christian people or not, we do come across situations where we are highly, highly angry maybe, or we're highly, highly irritated, or a decision has to be made, and it cannot be made at that point in time because you're too angry to make a decision. So what the pastor does and what I've learned to do is I just wait 24 hours, and then I go to sleep at night. I wake up, I got a different demeanor, don't we, Pastor? And what that does, that helps us make a decision that's more proper and more balanced for the circumstance. Amen? This is what Christian balance is all about. and God feels very strongly about it. Now, all of us here at one time or another heard this term. Honesty is the best policy. Have we ever heard that before? I'm sure all the parents at one time have told their kids that. This is not a biblical phrase, though, but it is definitely a true statement. I'm going to read something right now in my notes. I'm going to read it a little bit slow because I really want you to get this principle, okay? If we, as God's people, are indifferent to righteous principles in the common transactions of everyday life, it will be impossible to be a godly person in anything or on any given day. The religious requirement of just weights is based on the obligations of truth and our duties to God and to our neighbors. A false balance or a deceiving balance in the life of a Christian is a lie, and God hates all lies. Revelation 21:8 puts liars and murderers in the same category. That's how serious that is. Now, a Christian life out of balance is worse than a verbal untruth. The reason is because they are deliberate, and it can be a permanent problem if it's not unchecked in our lives. We as Christians must understand the balances and the weight of righteous living, and it doesn't come because of opinion. It comes because of divine words. Let me help you understand that. We have a balance in the sanctuary. You want to know what it is? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is what balances every person in this sanctuary. All doctrines are to be weighed, and if they are found wanting, they are to be rejected. We have people that can come into our sanctuary from various churches or denominations. They may have their thoughts, but it has to line up with thus saith the Lord, doesn't it? This is the will of God, because when you read Proverbs 11:1 like we did in the beginning, it said, false balances are an abomination. When we see that word abomination, we must remember it's disgusting and it's a form of idolatry. False balances are an abomination to him, such as carnal reason, vain philosophy, and the traditions of men. That's what the Bible says, and I'll prove it to you in Colossians 2:8. It reads this. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. What does the word spoil mean? It means to be led away. Beware lest any man lead you away through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Jesus said in Mark 7:7-9, how be it, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, laying aside the commandment of God. Ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. Now this is Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. Our own traditions can never be balanced by thus saith the Lord. They're wrong. That's why Jesus said it. Church, no matter what people do outside salvation, you know the end of it is all meaningless. The world strives so hard to master things, but in the end it will not matter because they can never please God. And the reason they can never be fulfilled is God can never be made happy by them. I will prove to you later that they can never get in the proper balance of God. When we deal with that little thing that we're going to deal with, that wheel there, I'm going to show you why the world can never please God no matter what they do. Because of this, they will always be in an abomination to God. What is an abomination? It's something that's disgusting and deals with idolatry. I know this sounds horrible, but let me give you more proof. Proverbs 20, verse 23 says, different weights are an abomination unto the Lord. What is an abomination? It is something that's disgusting to God, and it's a form of idolatry. You got to keep that in mind. And a false, which means a deceiving balance, is not good. We must have a certain balance when living life itself, and the world does not believe that. They don't believe in that type of balance. Proverbs 16:11 goes on to say, a just weight and a balance, they're the Lord's. They're not yours and mine, they're the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. They're not your work. Isaiah 40:12 goes on to say, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountain in scales and the hills in a balance? God is incredibly awesome, is he not? That he's able to do what I just said here in Isaiah 40 and 12. God has put this entire solar system into this perfect balance. Everything works perfect all the time. Our home here on earth is balanced, is a balanced masterpiece put together by the master, is he not? Now, everything that we see about God is perfection. Not so much in the fact that everything looks perfect. Example is when you look upon me. You don't see a perfect-looking person, but what you do see is a perfect-working person. Because I can feel, I can touch, I can hear, I can taste, I can love, I can hate. I can do anything because God has given this gift to me. I ain't perfect-looking, but I'm perfect-working, just like you are. Everything in God works perfectly. Trees do not look perfect, but they work perfectly just like they were designed. I got a neighbor next door that's got some ugly trees, all right? But they work because they drop everything every year on my driveway. So they work and do what God says they're supposed to do. Oceans and various waterways, they're all different in shapes and sizes. They work perfectly according to God's divine plan. Even swamps are God's divine plan. I don't know how that is, but it is. Look at the animal kingdom. So much variety, and yet they do exactly what God has designed them to do. Some animals are ugly and scary looking, but they work according to God's plan. Even mosquitoes and rats and mice are God's plan. Again, I don't know all that, or the reasons behind it, but he says they're his plan. Even when God made us, though, he made us according to his perfect plan. We are different sizes, we are different colors, and we all have different personalities, but still, we must all obey God's plan when it comes to balance in our life. Now, we are going to take the time. We're going to school right now, so everybody take their little wheel of life right there. And what we're going to do now is you're going to make your own report card. Because I'm going to explain a little bit about each section, and with that, you are going to give yourself a grade. And in the end, when we get done, you're going to be able to connect the dots, and you're going to be able to see if you're going down the road okay or you need some help. All right? Zig Ziglar, who's not a Christian writer, wrote a book about proper balance in life, which I read after I put this together. And he's pretty much, when it comes to success in life, he was pretty much right on. And the spiritual part was part of it, even though he didn't get into that in a great detail, which I will do today. But even people that have successful lives realize there is a balance in life that we need to have in order to be successful. Amen? Everybody ready? Number one, Rick, is mental. Our brain needs to be exercised and challenged just like the rest of our bodies. The brain is the only organ in the body that cannot be transplanted without completely changing the person. For the mind, which contains the conscience, the spirit, and the very identity of a person, resides in and operates through that brain. The brain controls every action of the body, and there is a continuous interaction between the brain and the body. Now, the Bible promises that if we trust and we acknowledge and fear God in our thinking, he will direct our paths to success and victory. Now, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, you're familiar with this verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, not some of your ways, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he actually shall direct thy paths. Joshua 1:8, familiar again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In order for us to have a balanced Christian life, there are laws that we have to learn to obey. Every person controls his own actions and activities, and subsequently his life by what he thinks. Every person controls that. He is what he thinks, for his thoughts, what happened to your thoughts, or what happens to your thoughts, they eventually come out in some way or form, do they not? Now, the Bible says a man is commanded to keep his heart with all diligence, for out of it are actually the issues of life, Proverbs 4 and 23. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth's going to speak, Luke 6 and 45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things, found in Matthew 12 and 35. The heart, though, in these three verses refers to both the conscious mind and the processing mind. So when you look up those verses of Scripture, you'll find that that's what it deals with. The brain must be challenged at times. So now, church, from 1 to 10, how are you exercising your brain? I will tell you later, when we're done with all of these, where you should be in that circle. But right now, you just mark your little spot. And don't overthink yourself. It's something that comes quickly. You know what I mean? Just, you kind of know who you are. All right, number two is physical. This is an easy one. Everyone here knows the importance of taking some time to be physically active. When we look in the mirror, are we happy with what we see? If we're not, believe it or not, we have the power to make a change. All of us here know and understand that when we exercise, we feel better, don't we? When we feel better, we will find it easier to balance the other areas of our lives. If you don't feel good about yourself, everything that balances out of our lives is in jeopardy now. Because if you wake up every day and you don't physically feel good, it's hard to balance the rest of your life. So physical, believe it or not, is part of a balanced Christian life. I remember when I was at Delco in the 80s, there was this lady, overweight. She hated me. She hated me, not because I was skinny. She hated me because of my religious beliefs, because I witnessed all the time, and she just thought it was inappropriate, and you know how that goes. And then one day, in fact, not one day, probably months and months later, she must have went on a different shift. I didn't see her anymore. I didn't even think about her. But then one day, she's back in my department, and she's skinny. And she says, "Hi, Steve." She was the nicest person on the planet. But you know why, don't you? She felt good about herself, and it really wasn't about me. And so what happens is, it's important, church, that we keep ourselves physically in the best shape we can, because you're going to feel better about doing everything else in your life. So now mark your X when it comes to your physical aspect of your life. In fact, we have a lot of people in our church recently that have lost a lot of weight. And I bet you can go to every single one of them and say, "How do you feel now since you lost all this weight?" And there's not one of them that can say, "Well, I feel pretty lousy about this." But what are you going to do, you know? Everybody is very ecstatic and very happy about what's going on in their life. Brother Wayne, oh man, he's just disappearing back there. Amen. All right, number three, career financial. Today we are living in some very difficult times, as you know. Today more than ever, we need to understand that if we're going to survive financially, there must be some preparation for your futures. Obviously, young people, you need to listen to this. Factory jobs where you could just kind of walk in off the street. I remember my father years ago, he left Escanaba, Michigan with my mom and a couple kids, and he came down here because he needed work. Well, he went to Alice Chalmers, I believe, and went and applied there. They wanted him to work right then and there. They didn't even want him to go home. He said, "No, we could use you tonight." My dad says, "I don't even have a place to stay yet." He just got in town. He says, "All right, be here tomorrow." And it was a job that you could support your family with. And there used to be a lot of those factories throughout our area. But all that is gone today. For you to walk into a job today, you know what I mean, with not much experience and make the kind of living you need to support a family, it just hardly even exists. I'm not even sure there is one out here anymore. Things have changed so much. So what that requires you now is, you have to start looking at your career, your financial scenarios, right? And what happens is, there are people in our church that I know that been out of high school for a while, but they just can't find any work. So they went back to school. They become nurses, and they're doing it. We got some men in the church right now that are still in school right now. And that's what happens, because you realize if you're going to go anywhere, you got to think about your career. You got to think about your financial part of the balance in your life. And so I remember working at General Motors in the 80s and 90s, like I say, I was one of those guys that was able to walk in off the street and make a tremendous wage to support my family. The medical insurance, the whole time that my kids grew up, I never paid a dime that I remember towards a medical issue, because they covered everything. Today, it's not that way at all, isn't it? And so what happened was, during the time that I was there, though, I was in a union called a UAW. But what happened as time went along, our jobs were somewhat tedious. You know what I mean? They're kind of same thing every day, every day, every day. And so General Motors came up with the idea that maybe we should hire some apes, okay, to do some of these jobs, okay? And so they actually were going to still be in the UAW, okay? They were going to be the United Ape Workers. That's supposed to be funny. Now, you didn't get it. All right. Did you get it, Pastor? They needed their union dues, man. That's why they needed the apes in UAW. But anyway, since Pac-10, that don't make any difference anymore. So all kidding aside, there must be a balance when guiding ourselves in the future when it comes to running our lives. So look at yourself right now financially, career-wise. Obviously, some of you are already there, and so you should fare pretty well. But some of you young people, you know what I mean, might be a little bit different. So look into that right now. Is everybody happy so far, or are we already seeing? All right, nobody's saying nothing yet. All right, number four is family. A good Christian family is one which lines up with biblical principles and one in which each member understands and fulfills his or her God-given role. The family is not an institution designed by man. It was created by God, and man has been given the responsibility of stewardship over those lives. Now, the basic biblical family unit is comprised of one man, obviously, and one woman, their offspring, and possibly adopted children. The extended family can include relatives by blood or marriage, such as grandparents, nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, and uncles. Now, one of the primary principles, though, of a family unit is that it involves a commitment ordained by God for the lifetime of its members, okay? That's what balance is. Now, Ephesians 5, verses 23 to 26 provides the guidelines for husbands and wives in a good Christian family. The husband is required to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and a wife should respect her husband and willingly submit to his leadership in the family. Now, the husband's leadership role should start with, obviously, spiritual matters and then flow to instructing and teaching both his wife and their offspring. Spiritual values obviously leading their family into biblical truth. Children are given two primary duties or responsibilities in the family: to obey their parents and to honor them. But there comes a day when those children will grow up and they will not necessarily have to obey their parents, but they have to honor their parents for the rest of their lives. When a husband, wife, and children all fulfill their God-appointed roles in the family, and when they have all committed their lives to Christ and to his service, then peace and harmony will reign in the home. But if we try to have a good Christian family without Christ as the head, or without adhering to these biblical principles the Lord has lovingly provided for us, we will all fail. And church, every one of us has to make a stand here. The world needs Christian families. They need examples because the world is blowing up around us, right? Amen. Mark your X for family. Where are you in relationship? All right, number five, social. A social person is one who is seeking or enjoying the companionship of others. They are friendly and they are sociable. While socializing in general, or generally is considered a leisurely, enjoyable activity, it can feel tedious to some and even a source of anxiety because not everybody is outgoing, okay? While socializing in general, some people are shy, insecure, or embarrassed to let go, and they see themselves not in front of people. They just don't like that, okay? Others get too consumed with work or school, and they simply forget to socialize. This is not God's plan for your life. God wants us to socialize a little bit. You don't have to be a social butterfly, but you still need socialization in your life. While it may seem like some people are naturally more sociable than others, the fact of the matter is that all human beings are social and have other skills. It is possible to train yourself to be social if you're not social, all right? Need we be reminded? We cannot win a sinner to God if we are always socializing with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay, we have to move out a little bit. In fact, we heard from God himself this morning when he talked about interpretation, tongues interpretation, where that there's people out there that are still lost. There's still people out there that God wants to touch, okay? They're out there, and how in the world do we get them here if we don't learn to socialize a little bit outside the box, as they say? I had something interesting happen to me this afternoon. I got my little cell phone here, and I got a text, and it came today, and I'm going to read it to you. All of a sudden, my phone's just sitting on the table, and I hear the text come in. So I said, all right, I'm going to go answer. And it says, the text is, who are you? That's what it said. Now, I remember, I didn't send nothing. But it says here, who are you? And so, being funny as I am once in a while, I said, I am a saint of the Most High God. Who are you? And the person came back and said, I also am a saint of the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Saint Peter. And I says, oh, okay, here we go with this, right? And so then I said, what can I do for you, St. Peter? Mr. St. Peter, I'm actually preaching at my church tonight on Christian balance, so if you would like to come, I would like to see you there. Call me or text me and tell me if you're interested. And so then he goes on to say, I received a text from this number. Yes, sir, I would like to go. And then it goes on to talk about the fact that he wants to find a church that has a Sunday night service. And so I actually invite him to come. Did you come here by any chance? There they are. Oh, my gosh. Stand up. Stand up for a minute. Praise God. I did not know they were here. Now, the question I have for you, stand up, sir. Sir, I'll let you answer this question. How did you get this text from me? Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think God has anything to do with this? Amen? Oh, that's hilarious. But I am excited that you are here, sir. And your wife, are you really named Peter? Oh, okay. And your wife's name? Angela. Peter and Angela. Wow. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. Amen. Oh, my gosh. This will go down in infamy. Amen. All right, now, number six is spiritual, which is the last one on your little thing, your calendar there, your little wheel. And obviously, I could have went the other direction and used spiritual first, but I actually wanted to lay the foundation of everything and then get to the spiritual part. All right, believe it or not, this is where my daughter was very nervous because I had a chance to talk a little bit with Sean and Jamie. Even Brother Dixon, we talked about this a little bit, and we got in a little bit of a disagreement, you know what I mean, at my house when we were there for Christmas time about balance and all this kind of stuff. And so I definitely toned it down for y'all, okay? I'm not going to be as mean about it as I was going to be. But believe it or not, though, there are people out of balance here. I know you hate to think of that, but we are. You cannot be a 10 on the wheel of life spiritually and be a 2 or 3 on family and social life. That's not being in balance, okay? And to be balanced here is just as important. God does not want us out of balance in this area any more than any other area of your life. God knows to be a well-balanced Christian spiritually, we must have the other areas in our lives balanced as well. Now, I believe that the foundation of our lives begins with the spiritual understanding of Christian balance. Now, there are six characteristics that comprise the foundation stones of our lives and our successes. If you guys can master these six things that I'm going to tell you right now, and for those of you that love to write things on paper, this is your time to do it. You already got your pens. If you can figure this out here and deal with this on a daily basis, you're going to be successful in your life. The very first one is honesty, okay? We know how God hates dishonesty. God hates lying. Character, your character is important to God, to your spouses, to the people around you. Your faith, your integrity, what kind of person are you really? Love and loyalty. These foundation stones are necessary to create a wheel of life that is balanced and will produce the kind of success that God desires for all of our lives. These six foundational stones provide the raw materials for all of our thinking. These six stones form our codes for success or failure because our thinking and our actions must be consistent with the characteristics of the foundations that we actually build. I need to remind myself, guys and gals, every day that I am what I am and I am where I am because of what I have put into my mind. My thinking is what drives my choices in my life. My choices determine the actions I take, and those actions will produce the results in my life. There was a time in my life, obviously, I think you can all say amen to this, where we didn't follow the owner's manual in our lives, did we? And it just didn't go well. It wasn't too smooth. It doesn't mean that you didn't financially do well, but there was just something that was always missing until God filled that spot that only he can fill, right? Church, if we believe we are spiritual creatures, we need God's word to govern our spirits, don't we? If you want to be governed by the governor, spiritual success will come to any and all of us. Now, I believe to be well-balanced, it starts with understanding spiritual balance first. You have to understand it right here. When we understand everything in our life goes through Jesus Christ first, balancing the rest of our lives will become more understandable and doable. Now, the reason why, I told you this earlier in the message, that the reason why people in the world can never, ever please God, they can never do it, they're always going to be an abomination to God. And I know that's a horrible word, but it's what the Word of God says. And this is the reason why. You can have a perfect wheel all the way around that little thing that you have right there, but when you get to the spiritual part, you're going to flatline, okay? And when you flatline, no matter how good and balanced the rest of your life is, because you're not spiritual, you don't have the truth, you're never going to be able to be balanced. And so that's why God is not pleased with people that don't serve him, because they can never please him, that there's a separation that takes place there. And it's not because it's his fault, it's because every one of us has that place that's spiritual, and only God can take care of that. And when he takes care of that, then the rest of the balance begins to work correctly, and it works good in your lives. Now you're going to want to know where you stand, don't you? Because now we're done with this. If you are between 5 and 8 on every one of your little dots that you put there, you are living a beautifully balanced life, okay? It doesn't mean that you can't have one, you know, that's a 9 or one even a 4. But basically, if you're between that 5 and that 8, you're a very well-balanced Christian person. Now, you may be asking yourselves, can I really get my life in balance? And the answer obviously is not only yes, can you get your life in balance, but the answer is you must get in a balanced life, because the Bible says a false balance is an abomination unto God. God is not pleased with any of us that are out of balance. And so what happens is, this is a tough message, I know. And what happens is, though, this is the end of the year. This is the last Sunday night that we have this year. You now can take these pieces of paper home. And you know something? Like I do every year, I'm one of these guys that likes to sit down, reminisce about the year, and say, God, what are we going to do next year? Or what can I do to be a better Christian man? What can I do to be a better husband? Whatever. I do that every single year. On the 31st of this year, in a couple days, I will sit somewhere in this pew all by myself, and I will begin to talk to God, and I will begin to do that. So I've given you a tool tonight, you know what I mean, to help you do the same thing. I know that your hearts all want to please God. That's why you're here, because you do want to please God. But yet you may look at your sheet there, and you'll say, hey, man, I'm a little out of balance over here. Well, God is not unhappy because you now realize it, okay? But he may be unhappy 6 months from now if you don't do nothing about it, okay? That's why the pastor and anyone that comes behind a pulpit that preaches the word of God, it's the purpose, the sole purpose of balancing your lives out so that when the trumpet sounds, we'll be ready to go, amen? Pastor?
Thank you, Brother Miller. Amen. I don't want to pastor an unbalanced church. Glory to God. I came out of the business world, and there was one thing that I hated more than anything, and that was hidden agendas, where someone would say one thing, and they're just doing it for business. And, you know, what you see is what you get. We have to be honest and forthright with everyone. I don't want to take much time here, but I want to read just a couple of scriptures. It says in 2 Peter, the second chapter, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We have to be aware that there are false principles that appeal to our ears, but they don't line up to the Word of God. And we need to dismiss them as soon as you possibly can. It goes on to say, and many shall follow their pernicious or self-destructing ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. There are many people who want to follow false precepts and principles, and they'll speak evil of those who stand for truth. I'm not shocked by that. And through covetousness, they shall with false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnable damnation shall slumber not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to reserve unto judgment, and it goes on to Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah's day, God is one day going to be judge us, not based on people's opinions, but it's going to be based on what the Word of God says. And that's why we can feel so comfortable and so safe. Because you know what? Everything that we believe is based on the principles of God, and that's what makes us balanced. You know? If we try to conform to this person's opinion and that person's opinion, well, it's just never going to work. I can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and really enjoy either one. We really have to make a decision. I'm going to live for God to the best of my ability. Are we all perfect? Absolutely not. But as long as we're heading in the right direction, God's saying, all right, you know? All of our children, we want to encourage them to do the best that we can, and we want to be merciful in their lives. And that's the way God looks at each and every one of us. Hallelujah. As someone said, I think perhaps it was Brother Portman this morning, God's gotten a lot more out of me than I ever thought he possibly could, but he did it one step at a time. If when I walked into a Pentecostal church, God would have revealed to me, you know what? Someday you're going to be pastoring the church. I had to turn around and run out of that place as fast as I possibly could, because that just wasn't on my agenda. But you know, little by little, step by step, God brings us further and closer and closer. He did that with his disciples, every one of them. And I thank God for the place I'm at, but I'm glad I didn't stop in the middle of the road. I'm glad I didn't stop in the intermission. I'm glad that I want to go all the way with him. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Amen, amen. Glory to God. Well, like every service, we're just going to open this altar and let people come up and get a little closer to God, spend some time with him. Amen. The altar's open.